plagued a potential nugget.
The other piece I wanted to discuss with you, Tasha, was the benefit of working with somebody, whether it's decoding internal self-awareness or external self-awareness. Do you have a view on that? As a coach, there's sort of a vested interest in asking this question. But even otherwise, what's the benefit you see a third party or another individual brings in bringing richness of data in improving self-awareness?
Absolutely. So I learned this from my good friend, Marshall Goldsmith. And the bottom line is that other people have this amazing and annoying way of seeing us far more clearly sometimes than we can see ourselves. And, you know, you sort of think about the leader who goes in every day and really feels like they're doing a great job for their employees. And then, you know, I go and I interview their employees and they say, oh my gosh, working for this person is the worst thing I've ever done. I've had coaching clients where I've, you know, and basically I go in when I'm working with a CEO or with someone else as their coach, I interview as many people as I can that work with them. So sometimes it's up to 25 people. I talk to their employees, their board members, their colleagues, their family, even their spouse. So I see this time and time again, where you're getting very similar themes across people. And there's a lot of power in that. And the reason is, it doesn't necessarily mean they're right or they're wrong, but it's the prevailing perception. And knowledge is power when it comes to that type of feedback. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to change. It doesn't mean that you will want to change, but having that data is what allows you to make an informed and empowered decision. And that's where I see my coaching clients really making the most dramatic transformations, is when they decide to listen to that feedback and to respond to it and to circle back with the people that gave that feedback and make sure they're making improvements.
And maybe persisting with this, Tasha, could you share a little bit of insight around how one gathers this data? As a coach, you said you speak to up to 25 people across different realms of life. Is there any nuance around, you know, how you do it and what some of the common pitfalls are in the way people go about collecting this data?
Yeah, so there, I customize it depending on the client. So the four questions I ask are, number one, what is this person doing on a daily basis that's contributing to their success as a leader? Number two, what does this person do that is detracting from their success? Number three, what situations bring out the best in this person? And number four, what situations bring out the worst in this person? And I actually learned those last two questions from Marshall Goldsmith, who I'm sure most of your listeners know his work. He's considered the number one leadership thinker and coach in the world. And there are a lot of nuances that come out of those second two questions. And, you know, you sort of think about it where if you're trying to get a snapshot from someone in 30 minutes, if you can ask similar questions slightly different ways, you're going to pick up on nuances to their behavior. And usually it's those nuances, right? Those very small daily actions that person is, you know, demonstrating that are what are so helpful. And that's where, when it comes to traditional quantitative 360s, right, where you say, oh, this person is a 3 out of 5 on teamwork. The challenge with those, they can be helpful, and I'm not discounting their value. But sometimes you say, well, 3 out of 5 on teamwork, what am I doing exactly that's making people rate me that way? And you can sort of try to read between the lines of your open-ended comments. But for me, what I can do as a coach is, you know, I ask those four questions or some kind of variation of them, and then I can start testing hypotheses, right? Mm. I can see if multiple people are bringing up the same behavior or even the same situation. And that gives me the ability not just to say you're a 3 out of 5 on teamwork, but here are some nuances. You know, here's what you're doing really well. Here is what is not maybe coming across in the way you want it to. Here's several specific examples. Again, protecting confidentiality, which is probably the number one most important thing, in my opinion. But if 5 people bring something up, it's obviously something that everybody is seeing. And so you've got to balance that. And obviously, whenever I'm writing up my reports, I don't do Very, very, very specific excerpts from the interviews for that reason. But again, going back to what I said earlier, people tend to start saying almost the exact same thing after a point. You know, sometimes there's a variation sure. depending on the stakeholder group. But I would say those are just a couple of initial thoughts.
A couple of things just building on what Tasha just said. First, I absolutely try and make it a point to speak to a few people outside of the current work context. I feel we are all a culmination of our various experiences, contexts, and choices. The current set of work colleagues just happen to be one set of people who have a view on us. Several of the leaders I work with have been in the current company only for a couple of years, but have spent decades in a different set of companies. Not speaking to some of those colleagues, I feel, is a missed opportunity. Secondly, I find speaking to some of the family members, whether it's a friend, spouse, sibling, parent or a child, extremely helpful. I feel we all lead one life, and people outside of work see us without the mask and often have a time trend view of us in terms of what's our operating system, what are our values, what matters to us, and what we're solving for. And this data is often not available when you speak to colleagues. I tell people that if somebody needs to get to know me, a 30-minute chat with my wife will tell them a lot more than speaking to 20 people at work. And also, I couldn't agree more on Tasha's point about numerical scores that come out of 360. I jokingly tell people that no murder mystery was ever solved by administering an online survey to the witnesses. When you're having a reference conversation, sometimes it's in the small pause, side comment here or there, which often opens the door to a really nuanced insight on the leader. Thank you for listening. For more podcast content, please visit playtopotential.com. The website also has content organized by specific themes in the curated playlist section. And to know more about the leadership and transition advisory work I do, please visit the About section at playtopotential.com.